Today is the 17th of Sivan, May 31st, and we are starting Perek Dalad of Shmuel Bet, which, believe it or not, I think we'll do today, the whole Perek. So, we're going to focus on the first pasuk for a little bit. Vishma ben Shaul ki meit avner b'chevron ve'yirpu yadav v'chol Yisrael nivhalu. So the son of Shaul heard that Avner died in Hebron, and his hands became weak, and all of Israel were shocked, or they say dismayed. So you'll see that I bolded Ben Shaul, and in Pasuk Bet, I also bolded Ben Shaul. We just started. So Ben Shaul is bolded both those times. So let's look at the commentary on Perek Aleph first. So Metzudat David says Ben Shaul, Lefi kishemet Avner lo nishar min mi lehitchazek imo b'malchuto. Because once Avner died, there was nobody to strengthen him in his kingship. Ve'od lo nishar bo koach malchut rak mitzad heyoto Ben Shaul hamelch. And also, there didn't remain anything in him in terms of the strength of kingship, except for this aspect that he was the son of Shaul, the king. Lezeh lo hizkiro bishmo. And it's for this reason that he's just mentioned as Ben Shaul and not Ishbosheth. We don't mention his name ever again because we see how weak he's become. And the Metzudat explains that once Avner is gone, there's nothing holding him in position of leadership. Okay, now it gets very confusing. So we're going to read, through Chet, because we have to see the whole confusion here and sort it out, and then we're going to read a couple of different commentaries on it. Okay. Ushnei anashim sarei gedudim hayu ben Shaul. So the son of Shaul had two men, the head of their troops. Shem ha'echad Bana, v'shem ha'sheni Rechav. Bana and Rechav. So the first one's name was Bana, and the second one was Rechav. B'nei Rimon ha'be'eroti, m'b'nei Binyamin. So this is the first thing that's a little confusing that we're not going to get so much into, but they were the sons of Rimon the Be'erite, the sons of Benjamin. So it is a little confusing, just in terms of, were they Be'erites, whatever that means, or were they Benjamites? And then, as the pasuk finishes, Ki gam Be'erot techashev al Binyamin, because Be'erot was also counted to Binyamin. So, are they 100% Bnei Israel, or do they come from somewhere else and like part of the weird conversion stuff with Yehoshua going, or Shaul going all the way back to the conquering of different things? Okay, Gemal vayivrechu ha-be'erotim gitayma. So the Be'erites had fled to Gitaim, vayusham garim ad hayom hazeh, and they're living there until this day, which is somewhere, I think, in the area of Binyamin. I could have spent a lot of more time focusing on this whole geographic tribal thing, but there's other things to focus on in this.
So the Be'erotim are just a tribe that lives in Binyamin, but not Jewish.
Right, but they might have like converted and been considered Jewish, it's unclear. I think Rav Bazak had a bunch on. Yeah, he actually had a whole article on the history of this. Vili Yonatan ben Shaul ben Neche Reglaim ben Chamish Shanim Haya Bevo Shmuat Shaul v'Yonatan miYisrael. V'tisarehu omanto v'tanos v'hi v'chafza lanus v'yipol v'yifaseach v'shmo mefiboshet. Okay, so Yonatan, the son of Shaul, had a son. This is the first time we're hearing about him. And he was lame in his feet because he was 5 years old when the news of Shaul and Yonatan came to them from Yisrael that they had died. And his nursemaid grasped him and they fled, and it was in their rush of fleeing that he fell and he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. So it sounds like Ishbosheth, Mephibosheth, right? So we discussed the name Ishbosheth about how it might have originally been Baal, the pagan god, and so they changed it to Boshet, meaning shame. So there's some negative connotations. The Midrashim, which again I didn't include. Oh, because we're going to learn more about it later. I decided to do it later. Maybe not. Anyway, I'll just tell you outside. There are Midrashim that say that they knew so much Torah that they shamed other people with their knowledge of Torah. So there's both a negative connotation and a positive connotation, depending on who's interpreting it. Okay. Hey, Vayalchu b'nei Rimon ha-be'eroti, Rechav v'Vana. So these two guys, Rechav and Bana, the sons of Rimon the Be'eroti, went. Vayavo'u kechom hayom, and they came in the heat of the day. Anyone else know who else was kechom hayom? Avraham at the tent, right? Which this is going to be the opposite of that. El Beit Ishboshet, so they came to the house of Ishboshet. V'hu shochev et mishkav hatzaraim, and he was resting. He's taking his afternoon nap. Vehena, I should have bolded that. We're going to focus a lot on that word later. Vehena, okay. Ba'u ad toch habayit, they went inside of the house, lokhe chitim, wheat takers, buyers of wheat merchants, vayakuhu el hachomesh, they kill him in the fifth rib, so this is the third person to die in the chomesh, verechev uvana achiv nimlatu, and the two of them escaped, vayavo habayit, vehu shochev al mitato. Okay, now this is really, really weird, because the pasuk repeats, and they came to the house, and he was lying on his bed. We just learned that, and they already killed him in the chomesh. Bachader mishkavo, in his resting room, vayakuhu, and they smote him, vayimatuhu, and they killed him, as if the chomesh wasn't killing him, vayasiru et rosho, and they removed his head. Veiku et rosho, and they took his head. Veyochu derech ha'arava kol halayla, and they went by way of the arava all night long. Okay, and then they're going to bring it to David, but we're going to stop there just to sort this out. So you can already see there's a lot of chronological questions here. Okay, there's a lot of contextual questions. Anybody want to voice them? Any of the questions? So we have some random non sequiturs, right? Like Mephibosheth. We never, why are we mentioning him here? We have the Lokhe Chitim, these grain merchants. What do they have to do with anything?
Oh, wait a second. Maybe I thought it was the grain merchants.
Right, that could be. What?
I thought it was the grain merchants that killed him, but was the...
It was these two guys.
These two guys who were heads of troops.
Yeah, exactly. They kill him. And then it looks like they killed him twice. Okay? So, let's read all the commentary on this. And this is the bulk of this year today. So the Mavim is going to ask even better questions. So, Hasheilot. Hapsukim ha'ela kashe leholmam. These are very difficult psukim. Hitchil V'shnei sarei gedudim. It begins with these two heads of troops. V'hivsik b'pasuk dalad b'maaseh deben Yonatan. And then it interrupts it in verse 4 with this incident of the son of Yonatan, Shea nachav raglaim, that was lame in his legs. She'en lo shum shaychut po, which has no relevance here. You can hear his annoyance in the questions. V'chazar b'pasuk hei el rachav uvana. And then it returns to the two guys, the heads of the troop in Pasuke. Madua lohis kira siba shabarhu uverotim lagat. Haberotim lagat. And why doesn't it explain why the Be'erotim had fled to Gat? Vihine shalosh devarav viavo kachom hayom el beit ish boshet. And there are three words that they came at the heat of the day to the house of Ishboshet. Vihine ba'u al toch habayit, and they came within the house. Vayavohu habayit, and then they came to the house again. V'chein amar v'hu shochev bet pamim. And it also says he was lying down twice. V'chein amar v'yakehu shnei pamim. And it also says they smote him twice. V'chein achar she'amar v'rachav uvana nimlatu, and after it says that Rachav and Vana escaped, chazar le'mor v'yavo abayit, it then goes back to say that they came into the house. V'chein ma'ashe katav lo'chei chitim ein lo shum havana, and we don't understand why it says anything about wheat merchants, wheat sellers. V'hamafarshim lo pershu kol hatzorach. And the commentators aren't very helpful to us here. They didn't explain it all the way. Okay, so the Mabim is going to try to help us. Shnei sarei gedudim hayu tchila levein Shaul. So he had these two heads of troops in the beginning. Behem hayu mibnei Binyamin. And they were from the people of Binyamin. Shehu mishivto shel Shaul. So he's parsing it very differently than we had parsed it. And he's saying, no, these were 100% Binyamin stock. Okay? Vigam alehem lo yachol hisha einata ki. And even on them, Ishboshet could no longer rely because Vayivrechu haberotim getaima. Because these other people, not the heads of troop, the be'erotim, had fled to getaim. She'al yidei ma'aseh she'yisuper b'pasuk vav barchu mi'eretz Yisrael. Because of what is going to be told in pasuk vav, which is the smiting, they fled from the land of Israel. Bisham nisharu at hayom hazeh, and there they remained until this day. Shehargu et Ishboshet, because they killed Ishboshet. V'chein lo nishar ish mipnei Shaul v'yotzei chalatzav yitmoch shavet v'yachzik et hamachut ki, and therefore nobody from the sons of Shaul remained, and there was nobody for the tribe to rely on to strengthen the kingship. Because, so what I think he's saying, again, I'm not even so clear on his commentary, is that the Be'erotim maybe killed Ishboshet first and fled, and then these two guys came in. But I'm not sure if that's what he's saying. But he's definitely separating the two guys from, they're saying they're from Shevet Binyamin and the other guys are Be'erotim. So it's all very unclear. So why wasn't there anybody to strengthen the house of Shaul? Pasuk Dalet in the Malvim, Le'Yonatan ben Shaul ben Nachav Raglaim, because Yonatan had the son who was lame in the legs. Shezeh Echad Nishar, this was the one remainder. V'haya Piseach ad Shelo Yachol Liot Ma'oz U'machzeh L'machut Shaul. And he was so lame that he couldn't deign to continue the kingship of Shaul. And because now the house of Shaul was in this horrible, weak, terrible nothingness way, it is abandoned. Okay, so it helps us a little bit. It puts some things into context, the Malbim, about why we're mentioning the son of Yonatan, just to show you how devastated the house of Shaul was. There's only this one remaining grandchild who doesn't even have the qualifications to sit on the throne, by virtue of him being a descendant of Shaul is not enough, because the king has to be physically okay. And we also the very least we understood that these two heads of the Gedudim were from Binyamin. And we see how everyone's abandoned Ishboshet. Okay, the Radak says something similar. So he's putting into context why it mentions the matter of Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan. Lehodia ki bemot Ishboshet, to inform us that with the death of Ishboshet, lo nishar lebeit Shaul yoresh atzar ve'ra'ui lemachut. Nobody suitable to be king was left to inherit the kingship. Ki Mephibosheth ben Yonatan nafal, because Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan, had fallen and was left lame in his feet. And to Shaul, the only other remainders would have been the children of Ritzvah the Pilegesh, who also, I guess, could not be king. Okay? But now for a totally different take on the context of Mephibosheth and mentioning him is the Alshich. We're going to do a lot of Alshich today. Will Yonatan ben Shaul, Yonatan, the son of Shaul had a son. Hine inyan Mephibosheth, hu nichnas ben hadvakim. So he's saying this matter of Mephibosheth is put in between things that should be together. It interrupts. Ki ein lo shaychut lo lamala velo lamata. It seems to have no relevance to what came before or what came after. Ki hakodem v'hamuchar hu inyan ishboshet. Because what came before and after was a matter of ishboshet. Umi hichnis inyan mifivoshet bentayim betoch hasipur. And who put this matter of mifivoshet in the middle of this story? Ach hine yadua ki Shaul bechir Hashem kar'u hakatuv. But we know that Shaul is called the chosen one of God in the psukim. Umi yura ki arba banim hayulo. And we know he had four children. Vehu vehashlosha naflu biad plishtim. And he and three of them fell on by the hands of the plishtim. Ve'at ishboshet hanishar hargu becharav. And Ishboshet, who remained, was we see is now killed by the sword. Ve'halo yifla ech lo chas hu yitbarach lebal tichbel gachalat hanishara. And now it's a wonder why Hashem didn't have mercy, Hashem, the Blessed One, to completely extinguish the coals. What's that called? There's a fancy term in English, like when you have the coals that are, what are they called? Like when you're left, embers, right? The embers. Yes, thank you. So how could Hashem do this to Shaul, one of his chosen ones, to completely extinguish the embers of the house of Shaul, is what he's asking. V'neharag gam Ishboshet hanishar, so that even Ishboshet, who was remaining, was killed. V'nechrav Beit Shaul, and Beit Shaul seems to be destroyed. L'ze amar terem yisaper harigat Ishboshet, and that's why, right prior to saying about the killing of Ishboshet, ki liyonatan ben Shaul ben nachav raglaim, that no, it's not being put out the embers. We're not dousing it. There does remain one child who happens to be lame in his legs. Lomar ki ze nishar lebilti karet shem Beit Shaul min haolam. To say that this one remains so that Shaul's name will not be completely cut off from the world. Umimenu nimshach zar'o, and from him will his seed continue. Kimifurash b'divrei hayamim, as we see in Divrei Hayamim, and the psukim are right below. I'm going to continue in the Alshich, and then we'll continue. She'achar shemana arba b'nei Shaul, because after in Divrei Hayamim, when it lists the four sons of Shaul, Omer uven Yonatan merivei Baal shehu mifivoshet. And it says, meriv Baal, sorry. It says, and that's what's bolded in the Divrei Hayamim psukim, that Yonatan had a son, meriv Baal, who the Alshich is telling us was mifivoshet. And if you see, the Malbim also says Ubishmuel Mifivoshet, that Meriv Baal is Mifivoshet. Ve'omer u'meriv Baal holid et Micha. And Meriv Baal, who was Mifivoshet's son, had a son, Micha. Uvenei Micha pitam u'melech v'tikra. And Micha had all these children. U'mehem amshich kol hadrot. And from them, all of the generations would continue, would be drawn forth. Ve'alken hichnis et Mifivoshet po. And that's why Mifivoshet is mentioned here. Kodem hizker harigat Ishboshet. Before Ishboshet is killed, lomar ki etze hishir hu yitbarach lehakim imenu Beit Shaul. To tell us that Hashem had left this one in order to bring up from him the house of Shaul. Umazker miyad harigat Ishboshet. And then it mentions immediately after the killing of Ishboshet, lomar ki kvar nishar leShaul meshech hazera. Because it told you, don't worry, there will be a continuation of Shaul's line after that. Okay? So I like Alshich better than the other ones. And it also gives you hope. Like the other one, it's sort of a half empty, half full type thing. And the other ones, I think people who are into inclusivity today would very much appreciate this Alshich. How even though he couldn't use his legs, he still was enough, he was very much a man who was able to continue on the line of his grandfather, Shaul. And we see that they are, and just look at the English of the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim describing his descendants, and the sons of Ulam were mighty warriors who draw the bow. You remember from David's eulogy of Shaul and Yonatan that they were the archers who knew how to do archery. with many children and grandchildren, 150. All these were the sons of Binyamin. Okay, so we don't have to despair of Shaul's line. It does indeed continue. Okay, so now, continuing on, we are going to try to sort out this double phrasing and how these people seem to go back and kill him twice. They go in, they kill him, then they go back and kill him again. And that's what we're going to sort out now.
I would just send the person who edited Sefer Shmuel simply use multiple sources.
So that's actually how Rav Bazak explains it. It's not the first time Rav Bazak has used this. I don't usually bring it in because I don't like that so much. But he says that it's not that it's to the editors, but that it's two perspectives, kind of how he does it. So you can read Rav Bazak if you want to get that perspective of it. Okay, but I wanted to look for a way of sorting it out in the pshats without resorting to that. So we're going to look at two different viewpoints, the Metzuda David and the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh is awesome. Okay, so first Metzuda David. V'hine ba'u, that they came. This is the first time. No, that's the second time that they came. Pasuk Vav. So they came in Pasuk He, and then they came again in Pasuk Vav. Okay, v'hine ba'u. Chazar l'saper ech ba'u. So Metzuda David is saying it returns to tell you how they came, v'lo hirgishu bahem, and that nobody sensed them. V'amar shabau tocha bait v'asu atzmam kilokchei chitim et ish boshet. So this is how they did it. They came into the house and they made themselves as if they were wheat merchants. That's why we mention them from ish boshet. V'amar shehikuhu b'dofen hachamishit. And then it tells you exactly how they killed him, but that's just taken care of between Hey and Vav. But it's not explaining Zion. Okay, so Zion then said so that he killed him in the fifth rib. Zayin, ve'yavoa bayit, and they came to the house. Ata chazar l'saper ofen haka'ha. Now it's going back in Zayin to tell you how they killed him. Ve'amar v'tchila himitu oto ve'achar ze kartu rosho. And it tells you that first they killed him and then they cut off his head. So the Metzuda is saying that it tells you they come and then it tells you they came again and how they came by pretending to be wheat herders and that they killed him. And then it goes back and tells you how they killed him. So it doesn't really clear. The only thing that the Metzuda gives, I think, some credence for is the wheat merchant issue. That's how they were able to sneak in without being suspected. Okay, the Al-Sheikh is going to clear it up even more for us. And this is crazy. Okay. V'yashuvu v'yavoa bayit v'hu shachayva mitzato b'cheder mishkavo. So they returned and they came to the house. Right, so the Al-Sheikh, right away in that first word, is adding his commentary. Vayashuvu, and they returned. It doesn't say that in the Pasuk, it just says Vayavo'u, they came. Okay? So the Al-Sheikh is saying that they killed him once, and then they returned and they came again, and he was lying on his bed in the room of his bedroom, I guess. Vishavu Vayikahu Makat Mavet, and then they gave him the deathly blow, shehesiru et rosho, that they took his head. So the chomesh wasn't enough to kill him, and then they had to go back and they had to cut off his head, and they took it and they went. V'ra'ui l'sim zeh lev al zeh, and it's fitting to pay attention to this. And he's going to have a number of points to pay that are questions and things to pay attention to. Aleph, lama asa pasuk bifnei atzmo. Lomar shema shenemar lamala vayavo el beit ish boshet hayatocha bayit v'shehayu lokchei chitim. So why is there a pasuk in and of itself to tell you that what was written above, and they came to the house of ish boshet and it was in the house, and that there were wheat merchants? V'tov tov hayam meha pasuk hazeh, And it would have been fine with just this pasuk, Vayavo kichom hayom el beit yishboshet. We could have just left it at that pasuk, the first one. Sheyomar el toch beit yishboshet lokei chitim behu shochev, chulei. That it would say, they could have just combined it in one pasuk. He's saying, why do we need two pasukim? And we're only getting a little bit of extra information and a lot of redundancy, it seems. Right? That makes sense, how I explained it? Okay. Bet, ve'od ki achar she'al shneham hu medaber. Furthermore, after it's talking about the two of them, ech yomar ve'rachav vana achav nimlatu. So this is very weird wording. It was talking about the two of them as equals, and then it reverts to saying Rachav and Bana, his brother, escaped. Why are we now setting up sort of a hierarchy between them after we just referred to them as equals? Why is it adding this information now? Harui Yomar ve'yeku al chomesh v'im latu. It could have just said they killed him in the fifth rib and escaped. We didn't need to say this weird thing about Rachav and Bana, his brother. Gimel, ve'od she'achar she'hayu sarei gedudei ben Sha'ul, after that they were the heads of the gedud, what did we say gedud was? Here? A troop, right, of the son of Sha'ul. Lama lo nichnasu ki b'nei habayit levacher et hachole? Why couldn't they have then just entered in and of themselves as the heads of the troops of Sha'ul to visit the sick? They didn't need a disguise if they were the wheat merchants. Dalet. Ve'od hayitachen ki bebeit hamelch lo hayu anashim uvenei bayit shelo ra'u et hamaseh harahu. Is it possible that there would be people in the house of the king that didn't see this horrible incident? Ve'lo kam ve'lo za ish o isha o evet katan o gadol lo bepam rishona ve'lo b'shnia. Wouldn't somebody, whether it be a man or a woman or even a small slave or a big slave, who wouldn't have seen it and done something the first time or the second time? Hey, ve'od omro tchila el beit yishboshet. It says at the beginning, to the house of yishboshet, ve'achar kach omar v'hinei ba'u ad toch habayit. And afterwards it says, toch habayit, within the house. Lama shina ve'hakol haya pa'am echat. Why did they change it? And wasn't this all one time? Vav, ve'od ki berishona hu omer shehaya shochev mishkav sarvaim. The first time it mentions, it says he was taking an afternoon nap. Ve'lo nizkar cheder ki im bayit. And it doesn't mention a room, it just mentions a house. Ve'gam lo ne'amar al mitato. And it also doesn't say on his bed. U'bepam ha'sheinit hu omer al mitato becheder mishkavo. And the second time it says, on his bed, in the room of his resting, of his lying down. Zayin, ve'od omru v'yakuhu v'yamituhu, v'yasiru et rosho v'yiku rosho v'yachu. So it says, they smote him and they killed him and they removed his head and they took his head and they went. Hayitachin ki b'chol zeh lo hayamishi or aviz akvi or d'ofi asigotam. With all this, wouldn't there be someone who would see, who would cry out, and who would chase after and capture them? Okay, all very good questions. Continuing. Ah, hine, lavo el ha'inyan, nasim lev el omro, vihine bau ad toch habayit. So the Alshik is going to focus on the toch habayit, within the house. Ki hayalo lomar. Oh, sorry, no, he's not going to focus on that. He's going to focus vehema, velo hena. Okay, so let's look at that. I just want to point it out to you in the text. I told you to pay attention. It's the very first word in pasuk vav, vehena ba'u ad toch habayit. Okay, so the Alshich is saying grammatically, it shouldn't have been vehena and they, because what's hen? Girls, women. It should have been vehema with a mem. Okay? So that's what he's going to focus on. Velo vehena, and it shouldn't said vehena. So we're just on that first line of that second paragraph in the Alshich, at the last word. Ki zecharim hayu, because they were masculine. Umnam, hine harishaim ha'ela, nityatsu, echaya asu, shelo yirum hayoshvim beit hamelech. However, these wicked guys, they took it they advised themselves how they could do this, that nobody would see them, that none of the people who were sitting in the house of the king would see them. Ki lo ya'adru anashim v'avadim, because they didn't disappear, they were all there. Al kein amru la'asot ha'davar b'shtei pamim u'betachbula kasher yavo. Therefore, they said they were going to do it twice, and with tachbula, machinations, right? That's a word, like schemings. Yeah, schemings, just schemings and deceptions, when they would come. Vehu ki tchila hema ba'u kechom hayom beit ishboshet. So in the beginning, they, masculine, came in the heat of the day to the house of Ishboshet. Kesha'ar sarei gedudim b'nei bait, just like any other heads of troops that were comfortable in the house. Mar'im atzmam kebaim ledaber imo. They presented themselves as if they came to speak to them, to him, to Ishboshet. V'derech ha'olam hu shebiyot ha'melch yasham, she'ashuvu v'yalchu ledarcham lebilti he'eroto. And the way of the world is that when they would see that the king was sleeping, they would return and go on their way without awakening him. V'chein asu ela. And that's what they did. V'zeu v'hu shochev mishkav tzoraim. And that's what it means, that he was sleeping his afternoon nap. Komar she'alkein lo nichnasu ad toch habayit. That is to say, that's the reason why they didn't enter toch habayit, into the actual bedroom. V'chazru v'halchu le'enei hakol le'darkam. And they returned and they went, and to the eyes of everybody, to their own way. She'ochlu hakol ha'id shelo nichnasu. And that way, everyone could testify that they didn't actually enter into the king's bedroom chambers. Ki im adaraba chazru v'halchu lahem, but rather the exact opposite, that they actually left. V'acharzot ba'u levushim kenashim. And afterwards they came dressed as women, mitnakrim mechusei panim, strangers covering their faces. V'nichnesu b'tu'unat shehayu nashim ba'alot mamon. And they came, they entered with the claim that they were women who had lots of money. Ba'ot liknot chitim, they came to buy grain, me'et hamelch mi'otrotav, from the king, from his treasury. This whole thing is just fascinating. Just imagining women in this way. Ve'az nichnesu ad toch habayit, and therefore they were allowed to enter within the house, ma she'en kein b'tchila, that which was not in the beginning.
So these guys came dressed up as women, and nobody said, oh, you have a very low voice for a woman.
No. But also, you can imagine what it's going to say about how they got the head out of there.
It was in the grain bag.
Okay. Pretending to be pregnant. Okay. Vizehu vehena ba'u. And this is what it means. They, in the feminine, with a nun, came. Ki ba'u b'tor nashim. They came described as women, kemashma'ut vehena, as is the meaning of the word vehena. Uba'u az atoch habayit, and then they were able to actually go within the house. Ubinei habayit hayu chutza lebilti he'iru. And the rest of the people in the house were outside without being awakened. Vehenichu hanashim sheyamtinu babayit ad ya'or. And it was the women wet, like they made it be... They made it seem that they would wait in the house until he would awake. Velo akvum chutza, and nobody made them go outside. Ki chafatzim hayu shelo yitbatlu miliknot chitei hamelch, because they didn't want to miss out on this purchase, that they would give the king money for his grain. Ve'az hotziu et klei mashchitam ve'yimletu. And then they took out their destructive vessels and they fled. Ki barchu merutzat anashim ka'asher hayu. And they escaped as they were. Ubinei habayit chashvu ki nashim hayu hamakot oto. And the people of the house thought that it was women who killed him. Ubetok shebau lerot ankat hamelech mimakato nimlatu. And since they came, they somehow, I don't understand it exactly, but they killed him and they fled. Vishinu levushehim. And then they changed their clothes. Bezeu v'rachav ubana echav nimlatu, and that's what it means. Rachav and Bana, his brother, escaped. Klomar hem chashvu she'anashim hayu she'nimlatu. That is to say, the other people thought that it was the women who fled. V'lo hayu ki im rachav ubana echav hayu she'nimlatu lefi ha'emet. Even though it was really, according to the truth, Rachav and Bana, his brother, who fled. And all those who were, and the voice of those who were chasing were seeking out the women who fled according to their own thoughts. And then the house became empty from all the people who were going out to pursue these quote unquote women, and to search out where they had gone. And then Rachav Ubana could appear as if they were righteous, and they went back to visit the sick who had been smote by the women. And then they found him on his bed in the room of his sleeping, whereas before they weren't in the room. Ki haya chole mehamaka, because he was sick from the injury. Vehiknisuhu mehabayit shehaya yashan sham sheinat haraim el hacheder miad. And they brought him in from the house that he was sleeping this afternoon nap. Mipnei sheachom yafel lemaka. Oh, they brought him outside, because the heat is good for somebody who's been hit. Ve'az ki ein ish me'anshei habayit sham bebayit mechapsim. And because there was nobody else there. Achar asher chashvu shehayu nashim ve'lo motzim. They thought that they were women and they couldn't find them. Haya lehem penai lashuv lehakoto ad shemet. Then Rachav and Bana had the opportunity, the opening, to return and kill him until he was actually dead. Ula hasir et rosho, and to take his head. Ula holicho, and to bring it. Ve'en ro'eh ad hitrachku me'ak makom. And there was no one to see it until they were very far away from the place. Ve'en yodea badavar, nobody knew of the thing. Ki lo haya lehem sham ish, because there was no person there. Ve'yachlu kol ha'arava, kol ha'layla, ve'en rodef. And they were able to walk the entire arava, the entire night, and there was nobody pursuing after them.
The Al-Sheikh goes into this long explanation of the mechanism of how they killed Ishbosheth, but doesn't get into the question of why.
Oh, so that we're going to see right now.
Oh, okay.
In the continuation. I mean, the Al-Sheikh doesn't say, it's shot in the text, why.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so let's keep reading in the text. Pasuk Chatz, we're on. Ve'yavi'u et rosh Ishbosheth el David Chevron. They brought the head of Ishbosheth to David in Chevron. Vayomru el hamelech, and they said to the king, Hine rosh Ishbosheth ben Shaul, oivcha, asher bikeshet nafshecha. Here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, your enemy, who sought after your soul, who wanted to kill you. Vayiten Hashem ladoni hamelech nekamot hayom hazeh mishaul mizaro. And behold, Hashem should give you revenge for the king today from Shaul and his seed. That's why they did it.
But they're Ishbosheth's commanders.
Exactly.
They're saving themselves.
They
think that they're saving themselves.
They think they're saving themselves from David, because of course a normal king, which we know David is not, would of course put to death anybody who is high up in Shaul's army. Mm-hmm. Right? So this is how they think they can get in with David. But now, as we know from the Amalekite boy, because we actually looked at these psukim then, yeah, to sort of prove that David was sincere in his not wanting anything bad to happen to Shaul or anybody in his house. Here's what David does in Tet. Vayan David et Recha v'et Bana. David answered them. B'nei Rimon ha-be'eroti. The sons of Rimon ha-be'eroti. Vayomer lehem, and he said to them, Chai Hashem, asher padat nafshi mikol tzara. As the Lord lives, who delivered my soul from every distress. Yud, ki hamagid li lemor, hine met Shaul, vehu haya kemevaser beinav. And the one who told me that Shaul had died, and he thought he was bringing me good news, ve'ochazabo ve'ehargehu. We grabbed a hold of him and we killed him. Bitsiklag, in Siklag, Asher Latiti lo Bisora, that he gave me this news. Yud Aleph, and notice this was also how we proved that David didn't believe that the Amalekite boy actually killed Shaul like he said he did. Yud Aleph, Af ki Anashim Rasha'im Harguat Ish Tzadik Beveito. So all the more so when evil men kill a righteous man in his house, al mishkavo, on his bed, v'ata halo avakesh etamo miyadchem, ubi'arti etchem min ha'aretz. And now I will seek out his blood from your hands, and I will burn you out from the land. Okay, so he's saying, look at how I responded to the Amalekite boy, who didn't even necessarily kill him. Like, that's what we're learning here. And I killed him because he thought he was bringing me good news. All the more so, you, who actually killed this tzaddik, Ishboshet, he's calling it tzaddik, in his bed. Okay, Yud Bet, Vayitzav David et Anaharim, Vayahargum, and he commanded his young men, and they killed him. Vayikatzitzu et Yedehem, and even more so, David really wants to make a point, they cut off their hands, Vet Reglehem, and their feet, and they were hanged on the pool in Chevron, and they took the head of Ishboshet, because of course they had that with him, and they buried him in the same grave with Avner in Chevron. And you can go today and visit Kever Avner. It's right near Marat Machpelah.
Whoa.
Apparently. Whoa. I saw pictures of it online. Okay, so let's just read the Malvim. Af ki, so this is where David's saying, you're wicked people. Ratzon lomar sham lo haraget Shaul. So what he's saying is that he's saying the Amalekite did not kill Shaul. Vigamim gemar mitato lo haya bebayit rak b'milchama shekvar haya ben mavet. And in Shaul's case, it was even more lenient, I guess, because he was engaged in a war, and he was already a dead man, as we know from the necromancer. V'af ki po sheharguhu mamash, and here where they actually killed him, v'lo b'milchama rak b'beito al mishkavo, and it wasn't even during a war, it was in his house on his bed. Zot shenit sheshaul kvar haya mechuyav mita al pi navi. Shaul was already destined to die by the Navi. Shmuel had already said he would die, if you remember. She'amar le'machar atav v'nechayimi, because Shmuel, when they conjured him up with the necromancer, said, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me, al yedei avonatav, because of his sins. V'hem hargu ish tzadik, but these guys killed the righteous man, shelo chet chet mishpat mavet, who never sinned any sin that would give him the judgment of death. Ve'ata halo avakesh, and now I will seek Ratzon lomar aleph avakesh et amo. I will seek out his blood to avenge it. Shechutz mizeh bet, shechutz mizeh ava'er etchem. And aside from that, I'm gonna kick you guys out. Ki atem rotzchim shofchei dam nekim, because you are murderers of innocent blood. Yud bet v'iktzatzu, he cut off their hands and legs. Et yedeim she'asu hamase, he cut off their hands because they did this act. And their feet, because they walked to tell David this news. And they were hanged. He needed to make this statement so that nobody would think that they could ever do this to a king. And this he did. I feel like we discussed this a little bit at some point. He did this from the deen of the king, and not from the deen of the Torah, meaning the king at his own discretion can put people to death, even if the Torah wouldn't, because there aren't the requisite two witnesses and warning beforehand. The king has discretion to take this out on his own, if he wants to. Okay. So that is where we're going to end it, and that is chapter 4, and that is the end of the kingdom of Shaul. But as we see, Baruch Hashem, Shaul's seed does continue, so we're not left despairing. And I think that's a really great explanation, the Al Shichad, for including that pasuk about Mephibosheth right here, because otherwise we really would be despairing of Shaul's household, not knowing whatever happened to it. So Shaul lives on through Mephibosheth and his descendants. Okay, thank you.